So let me get this straight. You got an app where people can trade cryptocurrencies and trade currency internationally without the extra fees, and now you're telling me you got your own cryptocurrency?
So yes, but before that, I would say they can't trade crypto on it because we're not an exchange.
Oh,
But
okay.
they can send peer-to-peer transactions with no problem. We came out with our crypto because it'll be exclusive to Beyond Wallet.
So, first question I got then, how the hell do we get our hands on some Sibe coin?
Yes. Here it is. We're in behind the dollar in the Vision Lab, man, getting it in. We have got our man, Corey Grant, in the building. Yo, this is going to be a fantastic episode. We're going to talk cryptocurrency. We're going to talk Beyond Wallet. We're going to talk mindset. We've got everything covered.
Cuff, today's guest is a native of Temple, Texas. I'm very familiar with that area.
Yes, you are.
He is a veteran of the United States Air Force, and he is the creator, owner, all of the above of the digital banking app Beyond Wallet. And as we just found out, he's got his own form of crypto. Please welcome Corey Grant to Behind the Dollar with the Vision Lab Podcast.
My man.
Obviously, the news, cryptocurrency in itself is all over the place.
Yeah.
Whether it's Doge or Ethereum, like it's you know, there's whether in like a moon coin or something like
safe
that.
Moon.
Yeah, safe moon coin. Like it's all over the place. From a guy who's in it on a daily basis, like what would you tell people who are looking to try to get on that train? Because it seems to be very volatile at the moment.
I would say do your research into new coins that are coming out that have a purpose. Some of these coins are just made as pump and dump. You know, they're trying to regulate it. SEC is doing what they can, but they still get around it. So I would say do your research. Try to get in before everybody else. Because once you get in, by that time, it's like, okay, let's wait for little people to put money in, jack the price up, short it real quick. We've all made money. Now they're going to come in thinking it's at a lower price, and then jack it back up, get the money. It's just a constant wave.
So, and I had this conversation with a neighbor of mine a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that, hey, Bitcoin will hit 100,000 by the end of the year. What are your thoughts on that as you smile, smirk?
I don't know about hitting 100,000 because we just underwent the retest. So that drop that below 50, you know, now you're coming up for another test of that. I believe it was 60,000 or something like that. Now you're looking for patterns. So it breaks, we could be in trouble. It could shoot up tremendously. It fails that, it can be looking for another drop.
Now, what do you mean by breaks?
So, price levels. You know, you have your support and resistance. And that resistance is right now at the high that Bitcoin hit recently at the beginning of the year.
Right.
But then, out of nowhere, it dropped right back down, but like a $10,000 gap.
Sure.
You know, so with that gap right there, it's now trying to make its way back up. It's around 57, 55, trying to test that 60 number. So if it breaks that, you can be looking for a new pattern to go up. If it fails, you could be looking at a 1-2-3 pattern that drops off to a bearish momentum.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Need to have you on speed dial, bro.
Nah. Yeah, we're going to make some moves.
Big shout out to our sponsor, James Aquila of Aquila Financial and Tax Services. There's still time, so you got a couple weeks left to get your taxes filed. Make sure you reach out to him. He's an awesome dude. He definitely will take care of you. We've gotten a chance to really know you, and you're just, first of all, super intelligent. You're a disruptor. And I think that
in a good way.
Yeah, and I think that you're proud of that, right? And so, real quickly, like, who is Corey Grant? Like, where are you from? For all of our visionaries that are tuning in to this episode of Behind the Dollar.
Well, I'm originally from Temple, Texas. Graduated there from the high school. Went to the Air Force. Did my time there. Lived in Germany. Did my TED Talks and stuff. And then now I'm back in Dallas. So I moved back to Dallas because I just saw a need for people who really needed help. You know, like Germany's economy is amazing. You know, they take care of their people, transportation. It's like you get back here and it's like, I take the bus and it's frowned upon. You know, I might walk somewhere and people are like, why are you walking? You know, like you got cars. And I'm just like, well, I lived a simple life. Like maybe if we change the mindset over here, we'd have more people doing better things and doing what they want to do. So that was more of my reason of coming back.
And one of the things I love about you is you talk about mindset a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, how important is it, or how important is mindset in your everyday walk and in the way you go to do business?
I would say mindset is 99% of it. And I say that because during my Air Force time, I was already thinking, what am I going to do when I get out? Like, I just signed this contract. I don't want to be here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be here. It's cool and all, but it's not for me.
You already had a grand plan.
Correct. So my dad was like, oh, you ain't going to college. You're going to the military. So, he pushed me to the military. And I was like, you know, depressed and calling back home like, dang, this is a contract. I got to finish this. And then I met some doctors in the military and they were like, oh, man, we can help you get out. They helped me get out. And I'm probably like the only person I know that got out for miscellaneous reasons. like, why'd you get out? Because I wanted to. You know, I wasn't medically discharged, dishonorable discharge. I just wanted to get out. So I would say going through a depression of staying somewhere where you didn't want to be, it kind of it bred something that was like, you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go get it. I'm going to, you know, no, nothing's going to stop me now. So I think when I changed to that mindset, I never looked back.
So we've got you on the show because you're the owner of this super cool banking app called Beyond Wallet. Just the overhead version, what is Beyond Wallet? I mean, where everyone's familiar with, you know, we call it the green box, the blue box. But what is Beyond Wallet and why should people have their eyes open for what you're about to provide to the marketplace?
Because I feel like there shouldn't be limitations on money. I mean, like, it's your money. You know, you should be able to spend it when you want to. You should be able to buy what you want to. You earn that, you know. And the way I see companies going is, how can we give them a carrot and pull it away every time they get closer?
Yeah.
And I may have to send you $5,000 on one of these apps or through here, but they're not going to let me. Because you know the rule, they hold the money, they make money.
Just talking to my brother about this on the way over here, I was like, hey, I can't move this money because there's not a relationship with my bank and this other bank.
Yes.
So, but what is, you know, Beyond Wallet?
Beyond Wallet is, let's see, it's the free thinker's way to move money. I mean, our goal is not only just the banking side, but the privacy side as well. You know, we're building in forum groups, you know, just chat groups so people can talk about finances, crypto, stocks, foreign exchange, gold, everything like that. And then the fiat currencies. The only reason why fiat's really staying around is because they're making it to where if you want to cash out Bitcoin, you're definitely going to have to move it to euros, pounds, dollars. That's why fiat's still here. Mm-hmm. If not, we could operate on Bitcoin tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So, but they don't want it like that. Let's keep something until we figure out what we want to do with it.
And what do you think they're looking to? Are we talking about taxes? Because, you know, a lot of Americans have this conspiracy theorist mentality that.
Correct.
And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm just saying what it is. Like, people believe that, hey, if I cash this out from Bitcoin and I got, 100 stacks in there, they're going to tax me on that and I'm only going to recognize, 76 of it or whatever, right?
Correct.
Like, is that the reason why fiat's just kind of waiting to see how they can make the cryptocurrency?
I would say that's only one of it. Okay. And this is my opinion, but I say it's only like one level to it because they have to make money off of it too. If they're not getting their cut, it's like, what?
Exactly.
And you think of tax write-offs and things like that. Okay, 39% capital gains, what? You know, like, that's high. But that's what some people are failing to realize. You make so much money off of this, they're going to come get their share.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the right tax preparers, then you're going to be paying that 39%.
Shout out to James Aquila.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. I got it. So one of the cool things about your app because we know a little bit. You can you as the user can move money internationally without paying any fees. Can you talk about one? How is that possible without giving out your proprietary information? And two, why is that so important to you as the creator of the app?
I mean, it's possible because we're on a whole different network. So we're building out our own somewhat blockchain. That's how we see it. Okay. And there's a big community when it comes to privacy, like Mozilla Firefox. They support it. Mozilla is a huge one. You have Whisper Technologies with the Signal app for texting. So all of these apps believe we shouldn't be limited to who we talk to, who we send money to. So they created technology to where, hey, I can send stuff here with no problems. I'm not breaking any regulations. I'm not, you know, breaking any laws, foreign and domestic. And that's just what I see. So as far as like proprietary software, it's nothing but some code. That's it.
Okay.
Like, it's nothing major. I mean, anybody could do it if you had a website. But it's the way of securing it. So that's why I'm a cybersecurity guy and I work with other cybersecurity professionals.
You've got an interesting story as it relates to cybersecurity and what you used to do for the government. Can you kind of share some insight on what you used to do?
Well, for the government, I was a dental hygienist. I wasn't no cybersecurity person. But when I came back to Dallas, they actually put me in Divergence Academy. And so that's where I learned penetration testing. And that's penetration testing. I hate the name, but it's really.
I was just gonna let you make it. It's all good.
I wasn't even thinking that.
It all works out, you know.
No, because people, I'm like, yeah, I'm a pen tester. What? Like, what is that? And it's just okay. I know how to hack stuff. You know, that's it. I know how to hack and defend.
Right.
Pretty much. So, but for the computer though, So, you know, they have data science, cybersecurity. And just like programming for the future. So now with crypto being so big, like you said earlier, now they're working on blockchain technology. You know, we want our students to be ahead of the game. And so when you partner with government entities, they're gonna be like, well, veterans don't have, you know, veteran unemployment's too high. We need to get you guys in here learning tech, skills for tomorrow. And so I was like, well, sign me up, send me over there. And me having a background in computer science and math and stuff, because of my dad, this dude was strict on me, like to the max.
But it worked out.
But it worked.
Back
it worked.
He was on to something.
True. He used to tell me, Asians will take over the world, so you better be good at math and science.
Ooh.
And I was like, it never stuck with me until I got older. And I was like, whoa, I can't say a vocabulary word for nothing, but I can break down a math book and a computer in seconds. So,
So you were brought on in this academy to learn how to basically like hack into stuff. That's crazy.
So breaking down Wi-Fi's, cameras, building little devices, that's what they do.
Okay, I have to ask, how do you, maybe not as in you, how does the government manage the fact that we're teaching our citizens these type of skills? How do they keep that from going on in the wrong direction? Because when you get out of that academy, I'm sure you're halfway dangerous on behind a computer screen and a keyboard. So how do they manage?
I think it's a lot more than halfway dangerous.
Correct. And so how do they manage to make sure that you essentially don't use what you learned for the wrong thing?
Because most of them, I don't want to say most of them, but a lot of students, as you can see in a normal college, whatever university, a lot of them aren't free thinkers. A lot of them just go by that system of, hey, we're going to go to school, we're going to do this. And now I'm going to go work for the Department of Defense or Raytheon or one of these big companies. And it's like, I don't want to do that. I want to do something that I can do, help people, and still live my normal life. You know, so I think for them, they bank on, hey, they'll go get a job somewhere.
Yeah.
And live that normal life.
Right. Exactly.
Because that's the American dream.
It's conditioning.
Yeah.
Everyone is conditioned. And I'm certainly grateful that you broke free of that conditioning, right? And that you're a free thinker. You know, I've heard you say that a number of times. And you love to help people. How will Beyond Wallet actually, you know, help people?
I think Beyond Wallet will bring back the freedom people need when it comes to their funds. I mean, you're not given the opportunity to learn how to invest when you're in high school, when you're in college. I didn't know about credit till I bought a car, and I was 19 years old. I was like, what is this? Oh, well, you need a cosigner because you have no credit, or you need this. well, dang, my family's credit is shot. Like, what do I do? Nobody taught me about this. You know what I mean? But it's certain things that Beyond Wallet's just not for the average adult. It's for your business. It's for your kids. Like, they can be on that going through courses and transferring money, learning how to manage their funds before it's too late.
So is this not, it's just not about digital currency or the ability to transfer, you know, if I need to send you $5,000, mm-hmm. it's beyond me.
Correct.
But, you know, it's greater than that. And so you're providing this this platform for not only financial literacy, mm-hmm. a pathway, digital pathway for people. What are some of the other things? Because I think last time we were talking, we talked a little bit about like the encryptions, right? Yes. And how safe it is for people to be able to move money from A to B.
Correct. So that goes with military grade encryption.
Okay.
And so that's why I said we're building our own blockchain, because we don't need outsiders seeing what you guys talk about. You know, you might say, hey man, like, I believe this is going to happen. Well, legally, you can't give him advice on anything to do investment wise. Well, you can educate him. That's totally legal, you know. So when it comes to encryption, I believe you should be able to talk freely about what's going on in these companies as far as stocks, as far as money, as far as news.
You know what I mean? People should, like, be able to have conversations, yeah, like, and just be able,
it's
to
the First
freely,
Amendment, right?
Be able, like, to freely speak.
Come on now. So, but it's really illegal.
You're about to, like, you make can't. Some people upset.
So, no, it's not every day you meet somebody who's come up with an app, let alone an app that is capable of doing what Beyond Wallet is. For the people watching this episode or listening to it, what's the first step you actually took to making this app?
First step?
Like, I'm sure you put pen to paper and put this idea together, like, in your head, but then at some point you're like, I got to take a step to actually making this. Like, how do you go about making it?
So the market research was reviewing other apps, seeing, like, what makes these apps bad? Like, what makes them good? You know, things like that. Some of these apps, they actually allow, you to invest in different things as far as, you know, holding money as well. Mm-hmm. But customer service is bad. Oh, snaps, you have a limitation. Some of the apps give you like $2,000 limitation on how much you can withdraw in crypto. You
or
know
how
what
much
I mean?
You can receive.
Or how much you can receive. Correct. And it's like, how are you going to tell me how much money I can get? Like, that don't make no sense. You know, also security was number one. And I say that because I could clone your phone number just like that, get into one of your apps, send that code straight to my phone and your phone. You might get it too and be like, what the heck is this? Okay, whatever. But I'm going to get that text message and get right in there. Face authenticator, thumbprint authenticator, no matter if it's iPhone, Google phone, Samsung, whatever, they're all catered to that phone. So it doesn't matter if you have something set up with Face ID. If I put it on another phone, now it's going to my face.
That's crazy.
So security, I think 2FA is not really 2FA.
Hold on, what is 2FA?
Two-factor authentication.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to let that pass because I don't know what the hell he just said.
Over here, yeah, talking in code.
Yeah, speaking that jargon, as they say.
My bad. Yeah, but that's what it is, man. It's not really 2FA. Like, if you log in to one of these apps, it's going to tell you to put your number in or put your email, and it'll send you a code. And get all email addresses associated with you.
So let me switch gears then, because obviously it takes some form of capital to get this off the ground. Mm-hmm. And when you present this to... You know, essentially provide security for yourself.
Correct. Well, at first, we partnered with a company. They provided all the telecommunications because Beyond Wallet would be able to enable Wi-Fi calling as well. That way, wherever you are, I always have a phone number. I can always call. I didn't pay my bill. Well, I have Beyond Wallet. I can call. So yeah.
Disruption is exactly. The word.
Correct. Oh, you needed to talk about money? Okay. Well, you can call through our app, and it was totally encrypted. That's the way it worked. Wow. So, we had partnered with a telecommunications company, but for investors, it was more of a, hey, this is our layout, this is our business model, this and that. We can't give you this source code. You won't be able to see the source code. The great thing about Beyond Wallet now is open source. Open source allows me to get to, it's called bounty. I put a bounty on this code right here. If you can hack this code, I'm going to pay you for that. You know, that's open source. And the
which makes it better on the back end.
Correct, because now you'll always know when your security is breached. So let's say on your phone, you might get hacked and don't even know it.
Right.
Because they're not going to tell you. It's closed source. We get hacked, they're going to know. It's going to get patched immediately.
So when you say you put a bounty, mm-hmm. like who are you putting the bounty out to? Or is it
online
just
to other code? Hackers.
Okay, so whoever can crack this code, you get blah.
Correct.
Then they do it.
Risk
or taking loss.
We don't have, everything else is cold storage. That's offline. As far as personal data, I don't collect personal data. That's the thing where it's like, if you go to the app store and you go to your primary institution that you use, I guarantee you is going to tell you we collect data on you. Mm-hmm. Why do you need to collect data if I've already given you my information?
And what's their answer?
They're not going to, I mean, you signed it. You signed up for that account. So read that terms and agreement. Because I'm pretty sure when you email them as well, they're going to say, well, you broke this contract. Read in the terms agreement. Well, which section did I breach? Just read the terms and agreement. That's all they're going to say.
So why don't you leverage people's privacy?
Because I don't need to make money off your data. Like, I believe that's personal. That belongs to you. Like, think of it as a VPN. You know, like a VPN. Okay, you might use one and they still track everything you do. But some VPNs say, I mean, that's what a VPN's for. Why do we want to keep tracking what they do? Well, they won't collect logs. What they'll do is your internet service provider is the one still collecting logs on you. So if they ever want you, just go to them. Hmm. Don't go through a VPN. The VPN can't help you.
So this is truly a what you're doing is definitely going to disrupt and disturb some people. Can you talk about some level of pushback?
And then come and answer that part.
Since November 2020. And so we've been through some remodeling, some rebranding, things like that, just to get a more tailored end user experience. We want it more for y'all, not for us. And a lot of problems is people will develop something and it's based on what they think and not what their users want. So trying to give the users what they want without doing too much. So
as far as any pushback that you received, knowing that, hey, I'm about to really shake some stuff up, what has that experience been like for you?
I can't market it yet. Mm. I can't, like...
What do you mean you can't market it?
I don't really put it out there. So.
As in, so you can't go home today and make a Facebook post saying, hey, everybody, I got this,
Technically, yeah, because that's already my following. Okay. I haven't spent a dollar on marketing yet.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I want it to be perfect. I can't deliver something half-ass to people when I know, okay, this is not exactly how I want it.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
So it's Saturday, June 1st. Like, this is available, though, right now. Like,
correct.
You can go to our app store and download it.
Correct.
How do we use it if it's not...
Well, actually, we've taken it off the app store.
Okay.
Just until we get the privacy part right, because we don't want to collect any data. Also, restructuring the engine. So having that telecommunications partner, they were a part of that engine. Now you have to slice that off, build your own. So we're building from the web down to the mobile, because now our security lies on server side and not on the app side within the app store and stuff like that.
Can I say something real quick?
This is a very elevated conversation.
Bro, my head is freaking spinning right now.
Yeah, it's just a very elevated conversation. But this is why we do behind the dollar.
For sure. Though. Like, this is what people do need to know, because people work so hard. Some of the stuff that's happening that you may not even know about. And I think that's super dope.
And it's not even the last part. I mean, when you, anybody looking to make an app or web, just send them my way. And I say it because people will go pay a developer $60,000, $100,000. And it's like, do you even know what you're getting charged for? Like, it's really for their high-end developers who want top dollar. And it's like, you can go straight from web, convert code, build your app in a month. You know what I mean? And do it yourself.
I think Division Lab.
But needs to get an app. Yeah, I'm going to say, what should the development of a standard app really cost?
You can get a standard app for about $10,000 to $15,000. No way you go over that.
I think Division Lab needs to hold off on that app.
Yeah, We're working on it.
But, I mean, you could go cheaper, but it depends on your quality. Like, I'm saying, you can get something decent quality for less than $60,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? Security-wise, that's where your money's going to be, because, like you said, what's keeping them from taking data?
Right.
And like you said, also, with the whole not being a savior but helping people out, that is why we're creating our own cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm.
So at what point does the Internal Revenue Service try to crack down on what Corey Grant's doing?
Mr. Grant, we'd like to have a conversation.
Never.
Really?
I mean, they haven't done anything, because I pay my taxes, Texas Workforce Commission, all of that. Like, I pay that.
Gotcha.
I don't like it, but I have to.
So in this current time we're in society, like I said at the very beginning, you know, crypto and all the different forms of it is all the rage. Mm-hmm. And you have thrown your hat in the ring. You've got your own cryptocurrency. What is it? Tell us about it.
It's called SYBE, and it's originally made to help personal, business, and community wealth. That I feel like it starts in the communities. So when you drive around and you go to low income areas and you see, oh, dang, they don't have the access to this that they have, and this is where it's starting with kids, it's like, okay, let's make something that they can use. Let's make something that they can use in games. People playing Fortnite and getting V-Bucks, and it's like, you can convert, somebody can buy those V-Bucks, but that's not a security though. Why? Because they pick and choose what they want to be a security. So when it's too major, now they come knocking. You know what I mean?
Little man, you got your hands on too many resources.
Correct. So it's like, okay, well, now they're playing whatever games they're playing, transfer SYBE tokens. Okay, well, now you have a small business and you want to do business borderlessly. Well, we have SYBE tokens for that. Like, when it comes to crypto, you can buy them in Russia. You can buy them in North Korea. I know America doesn't want, you know, that type of transaction. But what if you have family? What if you're Russian living in America and I want to send money back to my mom? Oh, I can't do that. You're going to make it difficult for me because...
Just because of where I'm from?
Correct.
So, but here's the deal. So, it's SYBE is mm-hmm. the coin, right? And this goes for any digital currency or cryptocurrency, excuse me. Where can you actually go buy groceries or buy a phone? Like, you want to send, you know, that relative money in Russia. Where are the locations that we can, you know,
so
use that money?
That we're working on. But in the meantime, we've actually programmed it to where it's on Ethereum network. It's on Binance Smart Chain. It's on the Bitcoin blockchain. So all of that right there, you can convert our tokens to those. And then from there, that's where you go fiat.
Okay, but then you have to pay the taxes on it.
It's small fees. Our fees are the smallest, and our transaction time is super low.
Where can we get a hold of some SYBE coin? And then where can the listeners of Behind the Dog get their hands on some SYBE coin?
At SYBEcoin.com. It's PSYBI coin.com. And that's where we'll be putting our chain for people to purchase.
Say the website one more time.
Sybicoin. PSYBICoin.com.
So you've been through a lot of just from November to where we are now.
Let's get into it.
You've been through a lot of stuff trying to make this a reality and run it the way you want to see fit. Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest challenge that you've incurred just in that 6 to 7 month time span?
The biggest challenge was trusting people when I shouldn't have. Mm. So, I mean, you go through ups and downs with different people, then you got people wanting to give you money, but they might not want this ethnic group, or they might not want this ethnic group. And it's like, well, I don't need your money, man. I'm not racist, you know? So I'm like, a dollar to me, I'm not going to sell my soul for $40,000. Like, you can keep that, you know? Also, I would say just trying to make everybody happy. That's a big challenge. When you have people calling, texting, it's like, hey, man, what's going on with this? And it's like, I'm one person. You know, if I was cloned, it'd be easier. But let me do my work. Like, this is tedious work. I'm not just shooting a hoop. Like, I can shoot a hoop all day, but I have to learn constantly every day because technology is constantly changing. So I would say those are my three biggest challenges, is dealing with people who want you to, you know, do what they want, and then trying to make everybody happy, and just the work, the time it takes to do this.
What's the biggest lesson you learned?
The biggest lesson I've learned, I would say timeline. So if I tell you, hey, I'll be there by 5:30 and I'm not here by 5:30, like, that's bad. Hey, man, I can do it between 5:30 and 6. Like, I'll be there. You know, just leaving that window. I think the biggest lesson was trying to get things done too quickly and then not being able to complete that timeline. That's the biggest thing I've learned.
Well, what I've learned from you is that you're constantly pushing yourself, mm-hmm. and you're never satisfied, A, with the victory, or B, with what you've already done, right? Correct. So, you know, within that mindset, like, how are you going to how are you overcoming the challenges that you've talked about and applying that to your life?
I don't even come to the office much anymore, to be honest. Like, I sit right at home and I just work.
Because of trust.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'd rather sit at home and work nonstop, put my headphones on. I don't have to associate with nobody. Like, this is all on me. If anything goes wrong, it's all on me.
You're comfortable betting on yourself at this point.
Correct. Because I know when it comes to me, I'm not going to, let's say I give you $500 to go buy a microphone.
Okay.
You go right to Walmart and get a $100 microphone. What you do with the rest of the money? That type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you give people stuff and they go get the cheapest thing they can do. It's like the cheapest thing they can buy. So now I'm like, well, I'd rather keep the money, do it myself. Yeah, it's more stress, but I'll go to sleep after this. So I'm good, you know.
But how does that, I mean, at some point you're going to have to scale the business. Can we get into some real talk?
It's all real for me.
Come on, man.
Right,
so we had this. We tried to, you know, get the recording, and we did mm-hmm. that before, right? And so the first time that we had the conversation with you, you know, we ended up having an issue and had to do the re-recording. And since mm-hmm. the second go around, right, there's been some things that have changed with mm-hmm. Beyond Wallet.
Correct.
Can you shed some light, especially since we're talking about challenges and overcoming things, like, can you shed some light on what actually happened without disclosing anything that would
be...
Yeah,
putting anybody's names out there.
Putting anybody's name out there or nothing, man. That's going to hurt someone legally.
I mean, imagine taking people in and then them biting the hand that feeds them mm-hmm. and then trying to coerce with other individuals to get you to quit. My own thing. So mm-hmm. it's like... I listen to people's ideas, and I listen to, you know, what they want, and I'm like, hey, well, it's different, you know, let's go with it. But it comes a certain time where it's like, oh, now you think this is all yours, you know? And so when you try to get people to convince me that I need to step down, and I don't step down, now I become the fraudster. And it's like, In my case, why would you want a company that is fraud? That doesn't make sense. But it's only fraud because I'm leading it. It's not fraud when you got it. Doesn't make sense.
And how can I be the fraudster when you guys are here because of me?
Correct. So I'm like, you try to be good to some people and it just doesn't work.
And I think that sheds some light as to why the trust issue is really big now. And so now you got to do all this by yourself.
Correct.
Right? But at some point you got to scale it and get other people. So how are you going to, you know, open your trust back up again?
Well, big thanks to Divergence Academy. I mean, class is going month with students from all over the world. They provide me the help I need.
Oh, that's dope.
So, like, when it comes to, yes. And
cheap labor.
That's interns. No, I'm just playing. I love them, though. No, I take care of my people. Like, that's one thing I do, man. But when it's all, I would say, when they're ungrateful, it's kind of like, I have no problem letting you go. You know what I mean? Because I know what I've built coming to Dallas with $200 living at the Candlewood Suites on Alpha Road in Noel. Like, that's where I was living at. You know, when I moved here, I didn't have no money. And it's drug dealers, crackhead, everybody in that hotel. So, you know.
So what are you doing? You get back to the hotel. You got $200.
A working laptop.
You just, and a laptop.
Working laptop.
And what are you thinking? What are you doing?
I'm sucking up the Wi-Fi, first of all. And it's like, shoot, I'm getting in there just, you know, how do I get back to the life I was living before? How do I, you know, how do I get out of this situation? You know, so for me as a vet, like, I'm not too jacked up, so I don't believe I should be getting disability or anything. Give me free health care, I'm fine. I'm fine. So when it comes to checks and stuff, I had no income coming in. So I was like, let me take a job at this debt collection agency as a human resource agent, which, another thanks to LinkedIn, because I got my LinkedIn HR certification in like a day and a half. Whoop, put that on the resume. But it's the way they saw my resume and was just like, okay, can you come in tomorrow? And I was like, that's a job. So started saving up every check from there, taking the bus for $96. I think that's a monthly pass. And
step by step,
just slowly growing. Uh-huh. And so then once I moved out of there, I'm like, okay, I'm still catching the bus. Now I need a car. And I was like, save up, give me a car. And then as I kind of kept climbing the ladder, my friends were like, security, like, you need to move away from there. You don't know how bad it is. And I was like,
oh, this is where I got to know myself.
Correct. You know, this is where, you know, I've humbled myself, you know. And so then it was like, well, move again. You need a place with more security. And I was like, then I started understanding, okay, this is why certain areas have more security than others. This is why, you know, there's a lot more to lose in that area. And a life is priceless. But if you worked hard for everything you have, and there's no gate around your property, there's no cops coming around here, there's no, like, what? You walk outside and somebody can easily just roll up on you. So I think knowing that now versus then I didn't care. I was like, I'm stacking money in a shoebox. I don't trust the bank too, so whatever, you know. I'll go get a cashier's check when I go get this next item that I need, but I was like, I don't mind. I got Ring cameras. I'm good.
Yeah, shout out to everybody who still got a shoebox in their house.
Right?
Gotta love it.
Man.
Gotta love it. As we kind of like wind things down, you've got your own crypto coin or your own cryptocurrency. I mean, want to phrase it again. This is an elevated level of conversation.
Man, head's still spinning.
Right. Beyond Wallet is a real thing. And you are trying to put the finishing touches on it day by day.
Correct.
What do you, in 5 years, what do you want Beyond Wallet to be doing? And then I'm going to backdoor it with, in 5 years, what is the vision that you have for Corey Grant?
So when it comes to Beyond Wallet in 5 years, I want that to be the go-to shop for analysis, for money talk, for everything. Everything when it comes to privacy, money, and building a community. Like, the community aspect is important. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that New York already has a New York coin. Hmm.
This crypto thing moving too damn
fast. Yeah, because we're gonna have a TVLP.
We've been here. We need a TVLP coin. Can you help us out with that?
But how does that? So, and I know that
get your TVLP coins now.
Right. We've talked a lot about like crypto, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to stay with Beyond Wallet. But how do if everybody can have a coin, everyone can have their own digital cryptocurrency. Where's the value?
And the purpose.
Ooh.
And the purpose.
Explain.
And I say that because there's a dog out there somewhere people invested into. And it's like, what's the purpose? The hype. It's the hype that people are really investing to, not really what the token can do. That makes sense.
No, it does. But then over time, if the purpose and the hype is gone, mm-hmm. and it does come about the purpose, how does my TVLP coin get used in a marketplace?
Because now it's just not about the Vision Lab. Now the Vision Lab has other people pumping content now. Other people doing this. Oh, snaps, like you want to be featured, well, it's $1,000 feature. Actually, pay us in here. So now you have the Vision Lab, a part of Binance Smart Chain. Okay, well, you invested in BNB. Send us our token from BNB. Now you can convert your token to BNB and cash it out for dollars. That type of thing.
So you went down this road, and we just got to another high level of conversation.
So check this, though. You might have people that donate. They might invest into you. Okay, well, that right there goes into your coin. So now your coin has value. That's why. Some of these coins, you can create a coin tomorrow and it has zero value. That's fine. But when you start raising the liquidity of that coin, you're raising the price. So now it may get to a point where $1 is now one Vision Lab coin. It's equal. So, hey, if you want to get paid in your own coin or dollars, you can do that.
Just the thought of having the option is an amazing concept.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you think about it, let's say Dogecoin, 35 cents today, opening price. Okay, well, that's still more than a quarter.
Sure.
Why don't you buy more quarters? Oh, the quarter might rise in value, might fall, but it's still more than a quarter. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. So now when you get to talking about Bitcoin and all of, boy, that's hundreds of dollars, that's thousands of dollars, that's tens of thousands of dollars more than a dollar. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you start getting people to value the Vision Lab, it's like now we go back to the drawing board. It's like, how do we make people use this? Okay, well, we market ourselves as, this the podcast you want to be on. I don't care about no other podcast. You want to market here? You want to get seen? Oh, advertising right here. Pay us in this. Because now there's a purpose for the coin.
That's what I love about doing this show, because we get to learn stuff.
Oh my gosh. And I'm sitting like a little kid just enamored with what is taking place in our world. And having captains of industry like yourself that...
You see what happens when you get in uncharted territory?
Yeah,
I told you about this last night. We're trying to get to uncharted territory.
No question.
You had brought up, why don't I really talk about it, or what's going to get them knocking at the door? Well, when you're developing technology and part of your revenue is going into autism clinics, it's going to neuroscience clinics, and then the overhead brain of this whole project is trying to cure people with disabilities made from human engineering. That's going to get people knocking at the door.
Oh, wow. We just opened another door. That's a whole
other
door. That's a whole other door.
I keep that on the ground.
Understood.
Because that phrase right there, curing disabilities caused from human engineering, that's big pharma now.
Yeah, that's really...
Y'all phones off.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm just waiting. Like.
Man, so for those who've been listening and watching, what's your Instagram page? What's Beyond? How can they get a hold of you? How can they get their hands on some Cybecoin, Beyond Wallet, like all the contacts?
Follow me on Instagram, Beyond Corey. It's Beyond Corey. I'm probably right after Beyond Meat, But, you know, it's yeah, go ahead and follow me. I do post links to the Telegram group because I want to build a community and also give people insight as to what we're actually doing. I don't want to create something and there's no use for it. So we'll actually be working with different ethnic groups in their communities, such as Native Americans, Haitians, and different tribes that say, hey, we want our own currency. And this currency is going to travel with us around the world.
Wow.
Website?
Website is beyondwallet.com for the crypto news, for all of that good stuff. And PsyBiCoin, which is PsyBiCoin.com.
Why the name PsyBi?
PsyBi. The brain. Psychology is that first half. The B comes from, you know, we were just like, ah. It sounds good. That's the B part. But Sizer, my entity, the brain of it, actually comes from the psychology part of, you know, like the mind. And then the Zer coming from the scissors. So Sizer is precision technology. That's really what it is. Gotcha. So everything we do, we want to do it with precision. We want to do it. Like you said, I'm never satisfied. Right. If it's not right, it's not right.
So when will... When can we expect to see Beyond Wallet back in the App Store?
Back in the App Store? I don't know. Because
you got us all hyped and juiced up.
Now, because BeyondWallet.com is really going to be the main, like the main thing, and then we'll scale it down to that mobile app. So I would say within the next 30 to 60 days, it will be back in the App Store.
So y'all heard it here first. By September...
It'll be back in the App Store.
Good. Okay.
I can make that timeline. That's no. Now you got
an extra runway. Yeah, so
we're
going to
give him an extra 30 days because you said, you know, okay. 5:30 in there.
Yeah. It's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ryan Mosley. He is Ryan Cuffey. The voice you've been listening to is Corey Grant, the owner and creator of the digital banking app Beyond Wallet, the creator of PsyBiCoin. Corey, we appreciate your time. We will see you guys next month on another great episode of Behind the Dollar with the Vision Lab Podcast.
I appreciate you for having me.
Appreciate it.
Blessings.
Yes, sir.